Luke is where we're going today, to the great physician, to the 16th chapter, starting at the 19th verse, where Jesus talks about the rich man and the beggar, and I find it very appropriate, hey, but I didn't even notice those. Did you put the flowers up here this morning, Rachel? Oh, ain't they pretty? Cool. I'm not even going to try to name all of them. Jesus and the rich man and the beggar. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. Jesus speaking, telling, talking about those who endeavor to have it all. And how sad that can be. We start in the 19th verse. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, longing to eat whatever fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. And the rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." Verse 25, but Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." Then he answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." And Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Harsh, hard set of scriptures. May God add his blessing to them as we seek him. Would you please pray? Father, let us know you closer through your words. Let this sermon, let these words that are about to be spoken be yours, and that they would lift us up, that we would come to know you a little closer and walk that much more down that lane, focused on you. Let us not think about what goes on outside these doors, but be dwelt in here right now, Father, as we seek you in all things. This do we pray in Jesus' name, and all of his children said, Amen. Now, what I have to tell you may be somewhat shocking, and if it is, I'm sorry, but I am going to have to shock you. I am almost perfect. Now, I know that shocked you, but I am pretty near perfect. I mean, aside from the fact that, you know, I suffer a little bit from the sin of gluttony, I'm perfect. Well, and that, and I have problems with pride and vanity, but I'm perfect. Well, of course, then there's also envy, jealousy, and greed. But I'm perfect. So you take all them things into account, and, well, maybe I'm not so much. I am a very greedy individual. You get around me when I want something, and I am off center. Come near me when the last piece of pie is still in that tin. I don't care who you are. I'm sorry, Gene, if you walk with a walker, I'll push you out the way. I know I'm bad. See, that's another one. Let me add that one to that. I made a list, too, of all the things I am not that makes me imperfect. You see, I read this story about men who trap animals over in Africa for zoos. Now, if you've known me for any length of time, you know that I would love to one day have me a pet monkey. I just think they are the funniest things. Just one of them little monkeys, right? I'd just set him right up there on my shoulder and call him Trigger. Right? Give him a little treat every now and then. And me and Trigger would drive tractors and we'd run steam engines and just generally wreak havoc everywhere we went. I'm married, therefore I don't have a monkey. But I would love to have one. But over there, they say the hardest animal to catch is the ring-tailed monkey. Hard animal to catch. They're fast. They can't figure out how to catch them. If they try to shoot them with a dart, that monkey is so fast, when it hears the click of the trigger on the dart gun, it's out of the line of fire. And great white hunters have gone over there and tried to capture them things, and they can't do it. And to this day, in zoos, ring-tailed monkeys are one of the most prized possessions. But the Zulus who live over there and know the monkeys know that they are greedy. Know that those ring-tailed monkeys want everything and have figured out how to catch them. There is simply, they put a trap with a melon hanging there. You see, to those monkeys, those melons are the most sweetest treat in the whole wide world. And so what they do is they take a melon and they hang the thing from a tree and they cut a little hole inside of it like that, you see, because the seeds inside that melon are what them monkeys is after. And them monkeys are greedy. And they'll run up and put their hand in there and start trying to get them seeds out, but they won't let go. They can't pull their hand out through the hole, and the Zulus simply walk up and catch them by the neck. Simple. Allowing greed to take them. I am a very greedy person, and I know it. I sometimes think that I should have it all. You put me in a situation like I was last Sunday, or I'll be next Sunday, at a tractor show, and my greedy meter goes over the top. I just give up because I'm walking along with my notebook going, well, I need that tractor. And I definitely need two of these tractors. And I'll take this gas engine. And I walk through the whole show because I love them things. I love being around them. I love hearing them run. Love driving them. Love working them. I came away from the show this past Monday in a pretty good mood when I got to work because I got to spend the whole weekend doing what I love to do almost as much as I love preaching, and that is be on a sawmill, a thrash machine, steam engines, tractors, flea markets, corn dogs. I was sitting there figuring out what I was going to talk about this week, and I heard a guy talking about he needed a new grill for his house. Now, I don't begrudge anybody wanting anything. That's not what this is about. He started talking about his new grill. He wanted a cooking grill for his house. He said his old grill was about wore out, and he wanted this grill. This thing's got a canopy on top of it, and it's got a sink, and a little refrigerator, and a cutting table, and a serving table, and a little thing that you can sit on and slide from the different things. And I'm listening to that grill, and I started to slobber a little bit. And he said, that grill was $5,000. I stopped slobbering right then. Man, I can cook hamburgers in a $20 skillet. I said, well, what's wrong with your old grill? He said, well, that thing's a year old. I said, I'm not sure I understand. He goes, hey, when I want it, I want it. When I want it, I want it. And I got to feeling kind of bad because over the weekend, I wanted everything I saw. And I walked around the farm that evening when I got home, and I looked at all my junk sitting around in the different places, and I thought how blessed I am. It ain't always right in front of me at the moment, but it's there. How sad can it be having it all? Do you all know Mindy? Anybody in this room know Mindy? Mindy was named one of the meanest people to ever walk on the face of the earth. Mindy's dead now. She she died several years back. Mindy made a pile of money by doing everything bad that she could. She quit school when she was 17. She married and divorced men and had money. She got so enthralled by money that she had to have everything. She wanted a getaway house in Greenwich, Connecticut. So Mindy went up there and bought this place called the Dunellen. A little 21-room mansion for $11 million and spent $12 million fixing it up because it wasn't right. Mindy was known as being mean. There was a story told that one time she was having lunch with her lawyer at a big fancy restaurant down in the city of New York, and the waiter had brought her a cup of tea on a saucer and had spilled just a little bit on the saucer. And she was so inflamed that she threw it on the ground, broke it to pieces, and demanded that he get on his knees and beg her forgiveness, or she would have him fired. She owned the hotel. That was Mindy. Mindy made a great statement. One of her housekeepers said one time, after walking all through the house, "My golly, you must pay a lot in taxes." Mindy made the statement, "We don't pay taxes. Only little people pay taxes. We live above that. We have it all." Mindy, in 1989, was convicted of 33 counts of tax evasion and went to jail. Her name was Leona Helmsley. I know you know that name. She had it all. Oh, so sad. It was so bad, I read a report that her son, her only son, died at 42 years of age. 42. And she sued and won what would have been his estate back away from his wife and four children, leaving them with $500 apiece and the widow with $2,000. Because, and she said, he didn't deserve to have that to start with. She died in 2007 at 87 years old, never knowing the Lord. She had it all. She was worth, are you ready? Almost $2 billion. I can't even fathom that kind of money. First of all, if I had that kind of money, you can bet there would be one big building on my place. And you would have to walk for a country mile to see all the tractors in that building. There is sales going on in the month of September that I would just walk into and just hand the auctioneer my checkbook and say, just write a number in, don't even start the gavel up. There's a sale coming up in New York this September. They are selling 500 tractors. And I want all of them. But she had it all, and it was so sad. Our scripture lesson today teaches us that. How much is too much? I don't know. But here's what I do know. When you're too much takes you away from this and that, then it's too much. You're going to be sad no matter what. What's the old saying? I ain't never seen a hearse with a luggage rack. And so let's talk a little bit about that scripture lesson today. Open your Bibles back up to it. We see a very rich man. Rich man in the time of Jesus. The Bible says he wore purple and fine linen. And I had somebody ask me about that. What's the big deal about wearing purple? People put on purple shirts. You know, my wife owns every kind of purple-colored clothing. There is, she's wearing purple today. What's the big deal about purple? Purple had to be made. It had to be colored a certain way. And the coloring of purple at that point in time was severely expensive. And purple was only seen as royalty. Purple flowers. And he wore purple and fine linen. And he lived in luxury. And he had everything. The Bible says that there was a beggar laid outside of his gate. His estate was so expansive that he had to have a gate and people to check in at the gate before they even come up to the big house. And a beggar laid there just wanting a few crumbs. This man had it all. Lazarus had nothing. I drive a couple of cars. I live in a fairly nice house. I have a lot. I don't have it all, and it's probably good I never will, because I could get myself into a lot of trouble. But it makes me think about certain things, like at the tractor show this past weekend. I have a lot going on. And there was a young boy there. Well, young boy, I imagine he was probably in his late 20s. He was severely, severely handicapped, retarded. Couldn't say a whole lot. But he had this smile that just caught you when you walked by. You'd walk by, he'd go, "Hi!" And you'd say hi to him, "Hi! Hi! Hi!" And him and a little baby started talking. The mama was carrying a little baby by him. I watched this exchange and had to turn away because I was all ready to cry. Little baby laughed, and the more the baby laughed, the more the boy laughed, and the more the boy laughed, the more the baby laughed, the mama laughed, his mother laughed, the people around him laughed, and joy started building up, and I thought, there's somebody who has it all and will take it with them and joy into heaven forevermore. Amen. And I'm over there complaining because I'm out there on this tractor pull at the horse pull, and I missed supper. Yeah, I know. I can stand to miss a few, can't I? I didn't want to miss that one that night. We put too much emphasis on things that lead us away from the cross. I'm not saying don't have things. That's not what God said. God didn't say walk through this life with your nose smashed into the ground. He said, but don't let it overtake you. And I have a problem with that. I have to be very careful of myself. And I am thankful today that I have to preach and I have to see those things that make me want to talk to you all to remind you of the same thing, that a rich man went to hell and a beggar went to heaven, and there is a chasm that will never, ever, ever be crossed. The Bible said so. If you don't think there's a heaven and a hell, take this home and reread those verses again to yourself and see what the Bible says. What did Abraham tell him? He said, you're over there and we're over here. And you can't come here and we ain't going there. Because you had it all and wound up with nothing. And Lazarus, who needed just the littlest bit, received it all. I have to be careful. I have to warn you to be careful. I have to talk to you about these things because in this day and age, that's all that we see is you've got to have this. I've talked to you about that before. The guys at work have a fit with me because I don't wear the latest fashions, even though I am definitely GQ material. And in case you're wondering, I could be on the cover of GQ Monthly. That would be the Golden Corral Monthly. You put emphasis on stuff. I put emphasis on stuff sometimes, and I shouldn't. Does that mean I won't still want to buy a tractor every so often or want to have another one? Of course not. My uncle, Leroy Baker, the hair cutter down here in Hagerstown, told Charlie when I first started here, good luck with him. Charlie can remember that. Charlie said, what do you mean? Good luck with him showing up on Sunday morning when there's a tractor show around. The emphasis of the Lord and the placement of the Lord stays out in front, even in those moments when I can't seem to see straight. Leo Tolstoy, who wrote one of the most phenomenal works of all time, tells this story about a successful farmer in Russia who was not satisfied. Not satisfied. He wanted more of everything, and one day he received a very unique offer. In that point in time, rubles, which was the Russian currency, was still worth a lot of money. I imagine this was around, what, 18... Leo Tolstoy, what was he? Where's Pat? 1860, 70, somewhere around in there. Am I close? I got five school teachers in here and they're all looking at me and I'm looking at them. Sonja? Linda? Well, I think I'm right, so we'll go with that. 1,000 rubles that this farmer was offered. 1,000 rubles, well, he could buy all the land. If he gave up that money, he could buy all the land he could walk around in one day. But the only catch was he had to be back at his exact starting point before the sun set at the end of that day. Early next morning, he started out walking at a very fast pace. And at midday, he was tired, covering more and more ground because he saw more and more. And I want this piece of flat and I want this piece of creek bottom. And he kept on going. And suddenly, he realized he was too far out, that the greed had overtaken him and that the sun was starting to fall from the sky. And he turned around and he took off running back to his starting point. And he ran faster and faster, and he was within sight of the finish line. But gasping for breath, his heart pounding, he fell to the ground. All the strength had left, and the sun disappeared. And in a few moments, he was dead. Afterwards, his servants dug a grave. How much ground did he get? 6 foot by 3 foot. We have to be careful, brothers and sisters. We go on back to that scripture. We have to be careful to remember that we cannot take it with us, that while we are here, we enjoy, but when we allow the enjoyment to take place of Christ, we lose sight of what? Of the end. Continuing on in Luke, in the 23rd chapter, we lose sight of these words. It was now the sixth hour. And darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun had started to stop shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two, and Jesus crawled out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last. Verse 47, the centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." All we need, brothers and sisters, happened right here. Enjoy here. But don't let you become the one that for you having it all was so sad when you left. And I know several of my brothers out in the community that are headed on that path. And so I charge each and every one of you to pray to strengthen yourselves this week. And also for those you know who are slipped away or are slipping away, that they don't find themselves in that place of torment, begging to be cooled. Having it all is so sad. Having all that He offered is joy unending. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, strengthen us against the wiles and the wills of this here old world. Sometimes it reminds us in a very uneventful way that we're falling prey to that temptation. Sometimes this old world shows it to us glaringly, our own shortcomings, and while we think we are walking pretty well perfectly, we ain't. Let us take to heart those words in Luke and that gospel, that we search for what lies beyond. That as Brother Myron had said, we look in that lane. And then we take time to pray for those in need, those in want, and allow you to lead us, Father, for your will would be done. That we may continue to be that which Jesus taught, ever living lamps unto His glory. Now until He calls us home, and then beyond. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you have a particular need this morning, if you need to be lifted up in prayer, if you need me to pray with you, if you don't, you know the drill. Here's the front. I invite you to come forward if you just need a place to pray while we sing that last song. But I invite you, pray for those around you this week to come.
Okay, please stand and turn to page 390.